I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 6. Hopefully you'll have that open in some way in front of you. And I'm going to be starting at verse 5 and reading through to verse 15. Subtitle is Prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others when their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord. So today is the second part of a two-part sermon. Last week we looked at the 23rd Psalm, and today we're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer. Before we dive in, we should actually pray. Let's do that. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for this instruction that you've given us on how to pray, and Lord, for the opportunity it presents us to be able to shape our own prayer lives. Father, we pray that it'll be your words that come through today rather than my own, and what you have to say to each individual person here will be what they hear. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So last week was the 23rd Psalm, and today is the Lord's Prayer. And for those of you who weren't able to be here last week, I talked about how one of the prominent theologians from the last century named Dallas Willard, who wrote a lot about spiritual disciplines. Yes, Dan, you have a question? Oh. Can I be turned up? Okay. Liz, can you hear me? Jan, can you hear me? Oh, hello. Excellent.
Thank you.
No problem. Okay. So, last week we talked about, and Dallas Willard, he wrote a lot about spiritual disciplines. And when you're talking about someone who writes on a particular theological subject, it's always best to ask, well, what do they actually do in their own lives? So someone actually asked him, and this is what Dallas Willard said. He said that before he got out of bed, every day he would recite from memory the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm, and that he would go over them, lingering on each phrase and reflecting upon what it meant as he went through. And it was a discipline that I would encourage people to give a go or try doing for January, for the entire year, for however long it takes, or you may just fall in love with it and want to do it for the rest of your life as he did. But the importance of doing this gives us an interesting, an important opportunity to reflect on who God is to us and who we are in relation to him. Last week, looking at the 23rd Psalm, we talked about how when you reflect on everything that that means, we can be confident in this world that we lack nothing, that we have everything we could possibly need because God himself is the one who takes care of us. Indeed, today we're looking at the way we are encouraged to pray. And there's an interesting, one of the things that comes out about Scripture in the way the teachings of Jesus is that he never actually taught anyone how to preach. He only ever taught people how to pray. That was the important thing that he needed to teach people. So we're going to look through this and the different sections of the Lord's Prayer and everything that we can pray into that as a way of shaping our own prayers. Now, it's important to note that this particular section of Scripture takes place during one of Jesus' most famous speeches, known as the Sermon on the Mount. And unlike the many prophets that we hear from in the Old Testament, rather than speaking to the nation or the rulers, as a collective, Jesus is preaching his Sermon on the Mount to individual believers. It is an individual message to be heard by each and every person. As such, the conversation that we're having about prayer is about individual personal prayer. Now, we know that there are many types of prayer, and I'm also going to be praying the prayers of the church at the end of the sermon today, and I'm going to be using the Lord's Prayer to shape that prayer time. So there are applications for corporate use, that is for sure, but the main message for us to take away is that this is about us as individuals and our own personal prayer life. And Jesus gives us both a model for prayer and a mindset for prayer, a model and a mindset. We'll start with the mindset, which is what frames the Lord's Prayer. In verses 5 and 6, it talks about not doing prayer for show. Your personal, individual prayer time is between you and God. The moment it becomes more about you than it is about God, we've ceased to understand the importance and significance of prayer. We've lost the point and we've gone off topic. Prayer is about God first and foremost, and about us second. It is not a time for us to show off how much we love God. There is no need for anybody else to hear your personal prayers with God. They are between you and Him, and you and Him alone. There is no reason for anyone to know what you are praying about, because truly, as Jesus said, we will have received our reward in full. Sometimes our private prayer times can be for self-righteousness or even for gossip purposes. We're like, oh, thank you, God, that I'm not like that person who's done X, Y, and Z. Well, thank you that I am so much better than this, and Lord, thank you for all the ways that you're blessing me. If you need further proof why that's not okay, I suggest you read Luke chapter 18, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, who both go up to the temple for prayer. Your personal prayer time should be done in secret between you and God, and not for show. And that has an important application for us, because we are also encouraged to pray corporately and to pray in small groups. And we must make sure that we take that mindset, or maybe we should say that heart set, into those circumstances as well. Those prayers are meant to be between us and God. They are not meant to be about our own self-righteousness or about news sharing or gossip about what's going on in the community of believers around us, but rather be focused solely on God. In verse 7, it tells us that we are not to babble like pagans, because they think they will be heard for their many words. Now, this doesn't mean that prayer needs to always be short. God is, after all, our friend. He is someone that we can have a deep and long and dynamic conversation with. In the same way, in our own friendships, some of our conversations are short and sharp and to the point, and others are long, hour-long conversations where we go into great depth about the relationship and the various things that are going on in our lives. Our relationship with God is the same. We are allowed to pray for a really long time, and you are allowed to use many words in prayer. The Bible tells us not to babble like pagans, and that's a matter of what's going on in your heart, and understanding that the nature of the relationship is that He is your God, your Father, and your friend, and that you are able to have all types of conversations with Him. What it specifically says, though, is that that God knows what we need before we even ask, so that we can get to the point, because He knows what we're asking for. To put that in a context that we may be a little bit more familiar with, you know when someone comes up to you and they say, Teresa, we've been friends for a while now, and you're kind of awesome. I'm wondering if maybe you might be able to do something for me. Get to the point. Teresa is my friend. Teresa, I really need you to do this for me. Would you be able to? She nodded, she's agreed. She doesn't know what it is yet. No. It's something that children like to do. Well, you can always tell when someone's coming up to you and the first time that first sentence is out of their mouth and you're like, okay, what do you want? They want something, wait for it. That's not how we're supposed to be with God. He already knows what's in your heart. He knows what you're about to ask Him for, so just ask Him. There is no need to try and sweet talk or sugarcoat God. That is fundamentally a denial of who He is and the power and the omnipotence and the omniscience that He has. He is all-knowing and all-powerful. There is no need to try to sweet-talk the King of the universe. And then finally, the other thing that frames this prayer, which is actually the end, is about forgiveness. Forgiveness is an essential component of prayer. Confession is an essential component of prayer. Every time we pray, chances are we've committed some form of sin between the last time we prayed and this time that we're praying, that we must confess to our Heavenly Father and seek His forgiveness for. However, we are also told that we must be a humbly forgiving people as well, because it says that He won't forgive us if we are not prepared to forgive others. I know it can be very easy to rush towards prayer when we need something from God, But I wonder if we rush with the same level of zeal and that same level of desire to pray when we know we need to forgive someone else. Because that can be really hard. Sometimes it's really easy to go to God for forgiveness. Sometimes it can be almost insincere where we say, oh, you know, thanks God, you know, please forgive me for this, great. And then we go on with our lives knowing that, you know, God, he's God, he has to forgive us. But when we actually start to think about just how deep the offenses we have against God are and how deeply, deeply offensive and affronting our sin is to him, even the smallest sins, we understand the significance of the forgiveness that we've actually been given. And we understand the importance and the necessity for us to forgive others. As C.S. Lewis puts it, he says, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. It can be really easy to think that the offense that someone else has caused against us is something that's a little bit too bad or too far gone for them to actually be forgiven, when the reality is there is nothing too far gone that God won't forgive us for. Therefore, there is nothing too far gone that anyone could do to us, a mere human, that we cannot and should not forgive them for. We must be a forgiving people. That is the heart set. We need to understand the privacy of the relationship, the power that God has, and we must be humbly forgiven and forgiving in our approach to prayer. So if you were to go through this prayer from memory and to linger on each phrase, making sure that is your heart set before you do it, and then you can go through the prayer, and you will notice that there are six elements or aspects of God that are covered in the Lord's Prayer. They are God's character, his kingdom, his provision, his forgiveness, his guidance, and his protection. It starts off with God's character. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We start our prayers by acknowledging all of who God is and all of who God is to us. He is both our Father and our King. In fact, the scripture translation of the word Father is Abba, which is basically a translation of dad or daddy. He is our dad. He is our father, and we should approach him as our father. But we should also approach him as our king, and not just a king, the king of kings, the creator of the universe. We must acknowledge all of he is. So if we're shaping our own prayer time and our own prayers around the Lord's Prayer, as I would encourage you to do, we start with thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving for who God is and all that he has done. That is an excellent line and an excellent section to include all of the things that you're thankful for. The second element or aspect is God's kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, some theologians have actually argued and gotten quite frustrated, if you will, that the word kingdom is used in the Bible, and it's a word that we've gotten so familiar with in our modern understanding of Scripture, when they reckon it would have been better if it had been translated as your kingship or your reign. It's not simply about kingdoms we tend to think of as being physical things or physical territories, where he's talking about his reign, his kingship, his sovereignty overall, which is covered in that line of your will be done. That is what we are asking for when we pray. We are asking for things that are a certain way in heaven to be the same way here on earth. And think about it. That pretty much covers everything you could possibly pray for yourself and for others. In God's kingdom, there is no sickness. In God's kingdom, there is no pain. In God's kingdom, there are no tears. And in God's kingdom, there is no death. For us to ask for that here is a very, very powerful prayer, because basically life would be as perfect as it was in heaven down here. Now, we know that that's not 100% possible this side of eternity. It won't be until we actually get to God's kingdom, where he will be our God and we will be his people, that all of those things will come to fruition. But there are so many inbreakings of his kingdom that we have already seen and witnessed and can see and witness again. As you're praying through the Lord's Prayer, this is the part where you can pray for the sick, people who are suffering. It's also a time to pray for conflicts and broken relationships that might be out there, or crises that are taking place both locally and around our world. It's also a great time for us to pray for God's mission, for the various ministries that we might be a part of or that we know are taking place in God's family here at Brimbank, because we want his kingdom to come in each and every one of those situations, his reign, his rule, and his will to be done. The third element is God's provision. which is fairly self-explanatory, and give us this day our daily bread. Now, this is an echo of what happened when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, and God gave them daily bread in the form of manna. It was bread that would only be fresh for that day, and if they kept it for a day longer, the next day it would be rotten and rancid. Because God's mercies are new every morning. He provides for us each and every day, and he takes care of our basic needs. That's something we talked about last week. So if you are struggling with having your basic needs met, this is an excellent time in the prayer to be praying for your basic needs to be met, or for others who might be struggling or dealing with disadvantage, for their daily needs to be met, because we know that God loves to provide and to give us our basic needs. For me, I often find at this particular point in time that I pray for God's energy, for God to give me the energy that I might need to get through the day. Given my current season of life, it's not uncommon for me to wake up tired, and sometimes I need God's energy. Sometimes I know I'm going to have a really rough day, that there's just a lot on, there's a lot of things that need to get done, or you might be dealing with some people that you may rather not deal with. You need energy. I need God's peace. So for me, my daily bread isn't just my basic provisions of bread and water and the food that I need to sustain me, but it's God's energy, his peace, and the things that I need from him to be able to get through each and every day. And I can remember to pray that each and every day because I know his mercies are new every morning. He is a daily providing God. God's forgiveness is the fourth element. Again, fairly self-explanatory. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Now, I do like the way that's phrased because it basically assumes that you're a forgiving person already, which you have to be. We've already covered. That's in the heart set. We must be forgiving people. It's the only element of the Lord's Prayer that comes with a condition. We cannot expect God to forgive us if we don't forgive others. We all have sinned and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. It's very much connected as well to the previous line about giving us our daily bread. We need to be forgiven daily. Trust me, between now and 10:31, Monday morning, I guarantee each and every one of us will do at least one thing that offends God. If you can get to 10:31 tomorrow sinless, I'd love to hear about it. Chances are at 10:32 tomorrow, you'll be guilty of lying. So there you go. That'll be your one thing that you've done wrong. And then you'll need to be forgiven the following day. I said, confession is such an important part of our relationship with God, acknowledging that in all of our own efforts, we can never meet the standard that he has for us, because the standard he has for us is perfection. And the only way we're ever going to achieve that standard is by allowing him to do the work in us until ultimately he makes us perfect himself in the age to come. On this side of heaven, all we can do is forgive others wholeheartedly and ask God to forgive us. And remember that when we confess and ask for forgiveness, forgiveness is not simply a box-ticking exercise. It's about acknowledging the wrong that we've done and making every effort possible to not commit those sins again. As I said, we're going to stumble in the next 24 hours, but we shouldn't intentionally do so. We should be doing everything we can to avoid it. That's how we grow. So in that particular time, that is a prayer, and that element of the prayer is really all about us and our forgiveness and the things that we need to do and that God needs to do in our heart. The fifth element is God's guidance. Lead us not into temptation. Proverbs 19 verse 21 said that there are many other plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's will that prevails. It is the Lord who determines his steps. Psalm 37 verse 23 and 24 are some of my favorite words. They say that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he might fall, he will not be cast down, for the Lord will uphold him with his hand. And Psalm 23, which we looked at last week, says that God leads us along the right paths for his name's sake. Our God wants to guide us. He does not want to lead us into negative situations or into testing and to trial. He wants us to be walking with him in everything that we do. So when we get to this line of the Lord's Prayer, that is a great time to pray for wisdom in decision-making. In the many decisions that we have to make each and every day, that we will make ones that reflect a life that glorifies God. It's also an excellent time to pray for wisdom in decision-making for our leaders, for people who run our state, for people who run our country, for the leadership team here at church, the various ministry leaders who head up the various ministries that we have. It's important that we pray for God's guidance for them as well. And then we close out the prayer by asking for God's protection. deliver us from the evil one. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says this. First Peter 1, verse 8. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. We need to be protected by God. We have a very, very powerful enemy out there. Fortunately, we have a very, very, very powerful God who is far more powerful than our enemy, and we should ask him to protect us. Be frank about your struggles. Whilst the line two lines up about forgiveness is important, this is connected to forgiveness, but this is far more about not forgiveness itself, but the actual thing that uncleansifies us. That's a new word. Use it in a sentence this week. The things that defile, that which uncleansifies us. We know that God will cleanse us, but what is the thing that's uncleansifying us in the first place? What is it that's causing us to need God's forgiveness in the first place? We should be asking for God for protection for those things. We all have our struggles. We are imperfect human beings this side of heaven, and we are all being sanctified by the grace of God. Thankfully, we have been forgiven, and we also forgive others, but we have been forgiven. But that doesn't mean that we're perfect. Forgiveness and sanctification are both ongoing processes, and the work of the devil in this world is unfortunately not finished. He is still looking for people to devour, so we must have the Lord's protection. And that's an absolutely wonderful way of Jesus rounding out this prayer, starting with acknowledgement of all the power and glory that the Father has, and then finishing by being hemmed in with his protection. Now, in some manuscripts and translations, and normally when we recite the Lord's Prayer together, there is the element at the end which says, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen." And that's absolutely fantastic way to end the prayer as well, by once again acknowledging who God is. It's connected to the first line. That is all about our Father's character, who he is, and what he's able to do. There are a lot of interconnected elements. So if you are able to, I would recommend you try praying through the Lord's Prayer and allowing after each line, thinking about the various other things that you could pray for when you reach that line. And there'll be a model of that as well, because we'll use our time together of corporate prayer to go through it that way. But you can also see how things start to play off one another and connect, and the elements of the Lord's Prayer are woven together. The fact that we need to be delivered from the evil one is connected to forgiveness. The fact that we need to be forgiven daily is connected to the fact that we need to be provided for daily with our daily bread. God's kingdom coming is connected to us not being led into temptation, but to be guided the way he would have us. And his kingdom come is also a way in which he provides for us, because there is no hunger, there is no lack in the kingdom of heaven, which is something we looked at last week. And speaking of last week, the sermon is available for recording if you wanted to listen to it, but many of you will know the psalm, the 23rd psalm, quite well. We went through it last week in detail. But what you will notice if you reflect on both of these passages together is that the 23rd psalm is a celebration of God's answers to the Lord's Prayer. It is a celebration of the answers to the Lord's Prayer. The first lines are almost the same. Our Father in heaven, the Lord is my shepherd. Your kingdom come, your will be done. He prepares a table for you in the presence of his enemies. In the presence of your enemies, he anoints your head with oil, and goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. That is the kingdom coming in your life. Give us this day our daily bread. It leads you to green pasture beside still waters, and your cup overflows. Forgive us our sins and our trespasses. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That is the discipline that God has. Lead us not into temptation. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake, and deliver us from the evil one. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Even if you only get a chance to do it once, I would strongly encourage you to go through line by line the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm and reflect on all that means for you, all that says about God and his relationship with you, and allow it to shape your spiritual life and your understanding of just how well taken care of you are and just how powerful your prayer is. Thank you very much. We are going to pray together now. And as I said, I'm going to be praying the prayers of the church, and I'm going to be using the Lord's Prayer as a model. So as I go through each line of the Lord's Prayer, there'll be other things that we need to pray for, various prayer requests and needs that we have for God. that I'll include as we go through. So hopefully this will help. This is the way I was taught to pray, and I hopefully it'll give you a bit of a model of what I've been talking about so you might try it for yourself. But for now, together, let us come before God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, we stand in awe of you and we love you. Lord, we just want to give you thanks for everything that you've done for us and for all the things that we have, for our lives, for our health, Lord, for the beauty of creation, and Lord, for the fact that we can meet freely in this space to worship you. Lord, we just give you thanks and praise for all that you've done. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we ask for the healing and the restoration for those in our church family who are sick and suffering. Lord, we ask that you would heal them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we also pray for those people out there, the many, many people now that are battling COVID. Lord, we pray that you would bring them healing as well. Lord, we also pray that you would be mobilizing your people to be caring for those who need care for. Lord, that you would be surrounding these people with your love and your support. Father, we pray for those among us who might be in conflict with others or have broken relationships. Lord, we pray for restoration. Lord, we pray for the peace that transcends understanding to come. Lord, we also pray that this would happen on an international level where there are countries and nations and tribes that might be at war. Lord, that you would bring an end to these conflicts, Lord, and that your peace that transcends understanding, your kingdom would come in those situations, Lord, and that people would be able to live together in peace. Lord, we ask for your kingdom to come here in Keilor East and to refresh the hearts and souls of your children and also the ones who don't yet know that you're your children that you are calling home. Lord, we pray for our various ministries in 2022 that they would advance your kingdom here. And Lord, we thank you so much for the generosity of people who have given faithfully to ensure that that work of your kingdom can continue. Give us today our daily bread. Father, we just pray for those who are struggling at the moment, people who may be going without meals or lacking the basic necessities that they need. Lord, we pray that you would provide avenues for us to see these people and to be able to help them and support them so that their daily needs are met, because we know you use the generosity of your people in this way. Lord, we pray for those particularly among our church family who may be struggling or going through a rough patch at the moment, Lord, that each and every day you would give them all the resources they need to get through life one day at a time, and they would know that you are with them and that you want to provide for them. Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Father, it says in your word that you are able to search us and know our hearts, and that you can see if there is any offense within us. Father, I just ask you to do that for me and for each and every person here. Lord, that you would illuminate the dark spots on our hearts, the offensive ways within us, so that we can confess those to you and be forgiven and have them removed from our hearts, so that we may be better able to help other people see you for who you are. Lord, we particularly pray for those amongst us or any one of us that might be harboring onto unforgiveness or a grudge towards another person. Father, we pray that you would release that with the powerful forgiveness of heaven, that they would be able to acknowledge the hurt, but Lord, to move on from it and release that from their heart. Lord, that they would forgive others, that we would all forgive others just as freely and graciously and mercifully as you have forgiven us. Father, lead us not into temptation. Lord, we pray that you would be with each and every one of us through the week as the various decisions that we need to make. Lord, particularly now when things are a bit more difficult and people are struggling to make decisions about where they might go, what they might do with everything that's happening out there. Lord, we pray that you would give us wisdom. Lord, we also pray that you would give people understanding for the different decisions that people make. Lord, we ask that you would be with our leaders, particularly the leadership team who aren't meeting this month, Lord, but who will be meeting again next month, Lord, and making various decisions about the directions and the decisions that need to be made for the whole church. Lord, we pray for wisdom for each and every one of us on that team. Lord, we also pray for our various ministry leaders that you would be refreshing them so that they too may make wise decisions about the various ministries that they lead. And Lord, we thank you for them and we ask that you would uphold them and rejuvenate them in this time. Finally, Lord, we ask that you would deliver us from the evil one. Father, we pray that you would protect us, that you would be our shield in this world. Lord, that we wouldn't take the easy way out when we're under pressure, but rather we would stand firm in our faith in you and know that you are with us at all times, so we needn't fear any evil. Father, we also know that you've told us that you know everything that we need before we even ask you. So, Lord, for all of the things that are on our minds and hearts today, Father, we just want to lift those up to heaven in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray in his name.